Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today is dedicated to hearing your stories about the planetary transits. So we're doing another grabbed episode today. If you don't know what that is, you'll find out. After the end of every episode, I always tell people, use the hashtag grabbed and share a story. Tell us about how one of the planetary transits that we've been talking about has showed up in your life. And then occasionally I like to do these storytelling episodes where I look back at maybe a month or two worth of planetary transits, and I pluck out stories that are really funny or poignant or beautiful or sad that illustrate the planetary archetypes that work in people's lives. I like doing this because astrology without the actual stories and reflections upon the transits, it's just a spin of information and it feels like it's never ending and people get exhausted by it. When you hear these stories, they have a way of filling you up and reminding you that astrology is beautiful, that we live in a beautiful cosmos, and that we're fortunate to have something like astrology in our lives, helping us make sense of our time here. Well, before we get into these stories today, which I think you're really going to like, don't forget to like and subscribe, share a few comments. I'd love to hear your reflections on these stories. If you have another story, you can always share a story anytime by using the hashtag grabbed or emailing us grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Share your story. Remember, if you share it, I will potentially retell the story without using your name, but I will potentially retell the text that you share publicly or in that to that email in a future episode. So always enjoy it when you guys do that. You guys are going to love these stories. And by the way, thank you everybody for sharing your stories. I had hundreds to look through from the comment section and from emails. I wish I could have told them all. They were all wonderful. I try to mix it up and pick different things and craft a good storytelling episode every time. So you guys make that easy with all the wonderful material you share. Well, before I get into it, I want to also remind you I am in promotion mode right now for my fall enrollment season. It is time to sign up for my next first-year program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, begins in November, on November 12th. You have some time to sign up for it yet, but don't wait too long because we are starting to fill up, especially if you want to take advantage of a need-based contract. I'll talk about that in a second. You can learn all about it on the website. If you go to the courses page, click on the first-year course right here, and then scroll down. Everything you need to know about the course is there. You can hear from some live alumni, everything the class includes. There's 30 webinars on the year, 2 to 3 hours each. I lead those. There's 12 guest lectures. There's breakout study sessions. There's a tutor-staffed group forum discussion, tons of bonus material. You can take it at your own pace. Everything's recorded if you can't make it live. It's all kept for you on a student website. If you have any questions about the program as you're looking over it, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. At the bottom, you can find an early bird payment, saves you $500 off. There's a payment plan. You can spread it out over 12 months. And then the need-based tuition assistance. We are trying to get the word out that we have a limited number of these available. So please take advantage of it before they run out. We would welcome you to apply early, especially because what we're trying to avoid is getting bombarded with a ton of applications the last week, which tends to be the pattern. People wait to sign up until the last minute. So if you're going to use the need-based tuition, it is wide open. We have plenty of space available. When we're glad to help people out and make the program more affordable for people who have a fixed budget, if you're on disability, if you're a single parent, whatever your story is, we want to try to make astrology education accessible. That has been my mission for, 12 going on 13 years now. So please do take advantage of that. If you have any questions, again, feel free to email us. All right. Well, your stories are fantastic. And these go all the way back into the summer. We're in right now, as I'm making this, is about middle of September 2022. These date back until, say, July and August and September of 2022 collectively. I hope that you will enjoy them. So they're kind of all over the place. But there are certain transits that I chose to focus on that were big ones. Recently, Venus in Virgo was square to Mars in Gemini. I had some good stories that came in very recently. Some of these are the kinds you would read in an astrology textbook. Some of them you couldn't even imagine, but they fit with the archetype so perfectly. So here we go. Venus square Mars. Hashtag grab. My boyfriend and I are going through a breakup. I feel like we should end it. The more I present my reasoning for why, the more he clings on to me. We absolutely cannot agree on our ideas. I want freedom and independence. He wants long-term commitment. It's such a difficult situation because not only do we disagree, he has become emotionally unstable at the thought of leaving him, which makes me feel like I just can't. And I just can't leave, no matter how certain I am that it's the right thing to do. Your statement that we're in a bit of a diplomatic knot with potential tension in relationships feels incredibly fitting for me right now. The more I pull, the tighter things get. I appreciate the idea of us approaching this with curiosity, patience, and care, that there could be a compromise. That is also my hope. Well, good luck to you guys. This is a very typical thing that I'm hearing from a lot of people during the recent Venus Mars square. As I'm making this, we've still got, you know, Venus in Virgo and Mercury's retrograde in Libra and so forth. So it's been a lot for a lot of people. I'm a Virgo rising. Venus just entered Virgo. So this is a little bit ago when Venus entered Virgo. Just as Venus enters Virgo, today is my day off, and I was showering and preparing to make love with my partner and about to light a candle, when suddenly I wondered if burning candles releases toxic chemicals. I went down a wormhole researching the volatile organic chemicals candles release and whether my candle was toxic or not before I realized I was being grabbed by Venus in Virgo. And then he goes on to say, if you're curious, here's my research. You can imagine, like, you're getting ready to make love with your partner and you're like, hold on just a second. I got to research the chemicals in these candles. I thought that was perfect. Oh, this one is very interesting. This was a Moon-Jupiter conjunction. So Jupiter's in Aries. The Moon was in Aries conjoining Jupiter. And this person experienced this. I was dropping my friend off at her hotel. She is a veterinarian visiting town for holistic veterinary convention. We walked into the lobby, and there was a street dog that had walked into the lobby and sprawled out on the floor, breathing heavily and drooling. He had just collapsed from the heat and apparently come into the hotel. And I'm kind of skipping over some of the details. But so you can imagine this dog who's overheated collapses into a hotel filled with holistic veterinarians who are there for a conference as the Moon is moving into a conjunction with benefic Jupiter. The dog was immediately surrounded by a circle of convention goers. Of course the dog was. All of them veterinarians tending to this dog with various modalities. It was almost surreal to set up this triage in the middle of a fancy hotel. They had gadgets everywhere, and they were working together like an ER team, but none of the vets knew each other. They were all just working for the common cause of saving the animal's life. Jupiter was just conjoining the Moon, and I thought, of all of the places for a dog to collapse, the best place would be into a hotel full of veterinarians. They stabilized the dog enough so he could be transported to an emergency clinic. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. That's such a Moon-Jupiter conjunction kind of story. The Moon is moving into conjunction with Jupiter. And by the way, in case you don't know this, in ancient astrology, the Moon was associated with wandering or lost animals or pets. And animals in general sometimes get the signification of the Moon, especially a dog, you know, the idea of the dogs howling at the Moon. So the Moon conjoins with Jupiter right as a dog finds its way in the heat. Now, this is in a fire sign too, fiery Moon, fire sign, Jupiter, a heat exhaustion, stumbling into a hotel full of veterinarians. That blew my mind. I mean, isn't this why you love astrology? It's why I love it. I can't get enough of this. That's amazing. All right, how about this one? As a Sagittarius rising, Virgo is my 10th house. That'd be the career house. I'm a gardener / farmer. So at any rate, and this is as Venus is then going into Virgo in the 10th house. My doctor informed me that I need to see a dermatology specialist and plastic surgeon. My life has come to a halt at a critical time in the gardening growing season, and I can't go out in public or the sun because of this hideous tumor on my face that needs to be tested for skin cancer. Wow. So you can imagine Venus enters its fall in her career house, and she's a farmer gardener, and she gets this really bothersome tumor on her face that needs to be checked out, and she then has to start researching plastic surgeons to prepare it as Venus enters Virgo in the 10th house of a gardener. Wow. Well, we all pray and hope that you are doing okay and that you're healing up well. This one was interesting. Mars ingresses into Gemini and moves into my second house. Identity theft, bank account drained. How long is this? sorry, just the last line. How long is this? Yeah, that sucks. That would be a very Mars and Gemini like thing to potentially happen in your second house. I'm really sorry, that sucks. How about this one? Mercury opposite Jupiter. Now, Mercury in Libra opposite Jupiter in Aries has been going back and forth over the course of the past month or so. This person writes in, Mercury opposes Jupiter. Now remember, this Mercury is also turning retrograde. I've been housing a friend of mine rent-free since January when she came to my house asking to spend the night because she lost her job and was going to be homeless. I nursed her through COVID, stayed up late nights to help her talk through her troubles, helped her through depression, and did everything I possibly could to support her, but she just kept spiraling out of control and calling in chaos in everything that she did. It came to a point where I no longer felt safe in the house with her. My partner and I recently made the decision to finally put down a boundary that she needed to find help elsewhere, which was a really difficult decision and difficult to carry out. Since then, she sent me nasty texts accusing me of being many things I won't mention. I've tried to be kind and firm, but sometimes it feels like there's only so much you can do. Yeah, so having to make a declaration, a proclamation, sitting down with someone and being like, look, here's the thing, you have to leave. Very Mercury in Libra opposite Jupiter in Aries-like moment, and the fact that she would become really combative is unfortunate, but it sounds like you did the right thing. And I think it's true, like you can only give so much before a person really needs to, you know, take a little bit more responsibility or accountability as well. And certainly if you're, you know, if you're not doing that, you can end up enabling someone or maybe even harming yourself. So neither of which are good outcomes in my humble opinion. So that's a tough one, but isn't it amazing that you can reflect on and see the planets in the midst of that decision? It gives you a sense that you're doing the right thing, or at the very least, the situation you're in and the complexities of that situation are held in the sacred resemblance of the sky. How about Venus square Uranus from earlier this summer? Laughing out loud as I begin this episode. This morning, I quite aggressively proclaimed to my hubby that I am done with sugar and junk food. My new philosophy is if I wouldn't serve it to God, then it doesn't pass my lips as I am part of the whole. Like so serious and righteous and firm about changing my Venusian eating habits right now, damn it. First of all, I will argue that God probably does like pie, so maybe you need to chill out a little bit on that. But it is such a Venus Uranus moment to have a sudden declaration that God would not eat sweets and that I'm not going to eat junk food or whatever. Good luck. Maybe the most, you know, rebellious and outlandish thing we could possibly say is that God made sweets. They wouldn't be here without, and God made Doritos. I don't know why, but I'm just playing. All right. How about Mars square the Sun? This one to me is sort of like, wow, this is an intense story, but it is also such a hashtag grabbed moment. Last night, I was meeting a friend by a peaceful. Now, this is Mars square the Sun. Last night, I was meeting a friend by a peaceful river spot in town when a little muscle car convertible full of teenage boys came zooming into the small parking lot at a terrifyingly high speed, aimed right at me, and started spinning around doing donuts and wheelies. It's a small parking lot by a popular river spot and trailhead, and I was absolutely enraged, and I, very out of character, started yelling and cursing at the boys, telling them they were effing idiots and going off on them about how stupid and irresponsible they were being. All of my training in nonviolent communication. All of my training in nonviolent communication and conflict mediation flew right out the window. Yeah, that sounds about right. Then about an hour later, I was making my way back to my car with my friend when a dog who was off leash started barking, snarling, and coming toward us pretty aggressively. It felt like the dog was going to attack us. We were looking around for the owner and saw a woman across the parking lot who wasn't really doing anything to call her dog or intervene. So my friend asked her to call her dog, and the woman yelled at us as if she was offended that we were asking her to get her dog away from us. And my friend and her proceeded to get into a yelling match. Also extremely out of character for my friend. You guys are just like getting into a brawl at the park. First with the teenage muscle car guys and then with the dog walker. We both got into my car and were like, what the heck is happening tonight in this parking lot? I go here all the time and normally have completely peaceful interactions, but apparently we were all getting grabbed by Mars squaring the Sun. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, at least you can see the planets there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, even if you had gotten bit by a dog, you could be like, well, shit. You know, the sun, Mars and the sun just bit me. Glad that didn't happen. Or if you had ended up like trucking, hauling off and trucking one of the kids in the face, God forbid, you'd be like, that's from the sun and Mars, you bastards. my astrologer told me. So I love that you have a background in nonviolent nonviolent communication and conflict mediation. Because the thing is, now you have stories. Now you have deeper empathy for teaching that to other people. You'll be like, peaceful, nonviolent communication and brass knuckles. Hand them out at your conferences. You can seminars. You can All right, I'm done. Okay, Mercury opposite Neptune. I had originally purchased a ticket to a psychedelic art show here in San Diego. I'm not a psychedelic enthusiast, but had had my fair share of trips. Meh, you probably are then. You know, a few days before the show, one of my employees who attends Bastyr, I own and operate a tonic and herb-infused CMOS company here, invited me to a big Bastyr birthday party at his mansion. All right. So you're definitely into psychedelics. Come on, let's be real. So I forgo my ticket to the art show and decided to sponsor this birthday party with my CMOS instead, figuring it would be a fun networking opportunity. When I arrived at the party, now this is Mercury opposite Neptune, it was definitely high end, filled with lots of characters. I noticed at the drink station there were several types of elixirs for people to help themselves to. There was one particular drink, of course there was, that had lemon, ginger, cayenne, GTs, kombucha, and psilocybin mushrooms. There it is. We knew it was coming. I assumed that it wasn't so strong. So I had about half a glass. Next to it was a Hiracha drink infused with THC and CBD. All right, I see where this is going. I had a half glass of that too. Next to that one was a fresh passion fruit white wine elixir. I, of course, had to try that. I never drink alcohol, very rarely smoke weed, and go on 1 to 2 conscious mushroom journeys a year on average. Yeah, you're definitely into psychedelics. About 20 minutes later, I felt my entire body go numb. I was blasted. I could hardly talk to anybody for about 2 hours. So I walked down to the empty pool and just laid there staring at the trees. It was pleasant, but one of those experiences where it felt like you were in some trippy movie. Well, I feel like I'm in one right now. As it turned out, everyone there who had a glass of that mushroom elixir was tossed off the rocker. The entire party was a bunch of naturopathic students tripping balls. It was really fun, but man, was I hungover the next day. There were some moments throughout the night that were totally on par with the energy of Mercury opposite Neptune. Some? Just a few? That's a great story. I think it's amazing that you were there with a group of students, very mercurial, who were all out of their mind on psychedelic extravaganza with mercurial knowledge seekers. That's interesting. The day Mars moved into Gemini, moving into my first house, that's the place of health and vitality, I went into AFib. I haven't had an episode for over a year. I will be taking health matters to heart. Wow, that's profound. And prayers to you. Hope you're feeling better. Hope that this Mars retrograde period would lead to some revolution around, you know, self-care, health, just giving you that feedback that might be useful. Mercury opposing Neptune. Again, so this is back when Mercury was opposite Neptune. My daughter has 6 of her friends over from college. They're all either high achievers academically or athletically. They're all home from school and asked if they could hang here till they go bungee jumping and then for a swim. Sounds like what college kids do, right? I'm hearing music, laughter, and it sounds like they're having a good time. I go check on them and I'm greeted with a whiff of cannabis smoke. Here's my daughter sitting in the middle of the group reading tarot for each person. She was only gifted the cards by a reader 2 days ago. I love it. You know, when in Rome, just bust out the tarot cards. But what I love about that is that it's such a Mercury Neptune moment, right? They're getting a little bit high. They're home from college. She's just been exposed to this otherworldly form of divination, which mom has an interest in, but up until now she's never done. And now she's sitting in a circle doing it. That would be such a mind-bending observation and almost like a generational parallel. Really fascinating. I love that story. It's just such a simple, sweet capture of the planetary moment. This one's intense. Sun opposite Saturn. Remember when the sun was opposing Saturn? We talked about that. My older brother recently returned home from a 2-year pilgrimage in India. On his second day home, just as the sun opposite Saturn was perfecting, he and my dad decided to spend some time together and went for a hike to one of dad's favorite fishing spots. The rope dad was using to assist himself down a steep section of the track broke, and dad ended up losing his balance and falling 10 to 13 feet down a vertical cliff. He broke 6 ribs, his right foot, and lost a significant amount of blood from a severe head wound. If my brother wasn't there to administer first aid and call the emergency services, dad would most likely have died. Luckily, dad is now recovering in hospital. Everyone is very shaken up, particularly my brother. Wow. There's so much there. That's such a profound image of coming home from India, seeing your father for the first time, going on this trip, and your father almost dies and you have to care for him. There's something very profound about that. I don't know what, but you can feel it, can't you? How about Venus opposite Pluto? A bunch of Venus opposite Pluto stories. Venus in Cancer, opposite Pluto in Capricorn. This astrological event brings up a lot of unresolved grief from the sudden passing of my beloved husband exactly 4 years ago. I'm experiencing the pain of his passing as if it is for the first time all over again. And this is happening just a couple of days before our wedding anniversary. So he passed right around the time of the wedding anniversary. If I'm understanding this correctly, the wedding anniversary comes up. As Venus is opposing Pluto, there's a reliving of the grief as if he's passing again for the first time. That's really deep. And I think that's why we have this language. So that in moments like that, when Venus is opposing Pluto and you know that that's in the sky, we observe a ritual like a funeral, a celebration of life, a spreading of ashes, but the planets have their own time. The planets spread out are grieving in poignant moments that are not able to be captured in the normal sequence of things. Right? A funeral happens pretty quickly after someone passes, but cosmic funerals happen at their own times. And that's interesting. So Venus opposite Pluto. As this was ramping up, I found myself overwhelmed with the need to know more about my ancestors, my great grandparents, even the early life of my grandparents and their lives. Since I have no one around to talk about this with, I started searching online for records and eventually found myself on websites like Find a Grave. That's the actual name, very Pluto. I did find some cool information from the 1935 census and random publications where I found a few cool photos of my great-grandfather's business. I just felt this longing to be close to them and ask them questions. I felt so sad that I was so far away from them, just looking through these few mundane snippets of their life that are still in public records, like looking at the remnants of someone's entire household after it's been blown up. A piece of handwritten shopping list, a piece of their clothing, even if those few random online facts I found were precious to me, like gold, something comforting. I then felt really mad that my dad never included me in my grandmother's funeral as she was my closest family member. Somehow I got through the bitterness toward my dad and bridged to the love of these known and unknown ancestors. I put myself in their places, imagined their lives, and felt them all around me. It was very comforting by the end of the day. I might make an ancestor altar, even though it's not the right season yet. Well, it's always the right season if it comes up in your heart, in my mind. And this is a really profound story. Venus in Cancer, opposite Pluto in Capricorn, and the love and imaginational draw to family in the past and what's missing in the ancestors. Such a deep Venus-Pluto exploration. Isn't it beautiful that the planets take us to these places? It's like life is this beautiful moving piece of artwork, and you can't avoid the universe just bringing you into its own creative process. And in the fact that we get to reflect, that we have reflective awareness of the process, I mean, what else could hallelujah possibly mean but that, you know? Tonight, my young niece called saying her hysterectomy was successful. This is Venus in Cancer opposite Pluto. So sadly, she will not be able to have children. At the time of the call, for no apparent reason, I was watching video about a missing deep sea diver. Venus in Cancer opposite Pluto. I find out that My niece has to have a hysterectomy and can no longer have children. So it's successful, but it's a little bit of a, you know, a sore spot. And then also I'm watching a video about a missing deep sea diver, Venus in a water sign opposite Pluto, the ruler of the depths. She said at the end, why we love astrology. And I couldn't agree more. I met a partner who was interested in dominating me. This is very, very, very Venus opposite Pluto. I met a new partner who was interested in dominating me, and I decided to give it a go. Before the play, I was thinking about how this is akin to Hades and Persephone. My mind was completely in that place where I was going to be initiated into the underworld and submission. The whole experience was one of complete bliss. Well, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but wow, that's very Venus opposite Pluto. And I'm glad that it was blissful for you and that it felt like some kind of sexual or sacred sexual initiation. You know, especially if it's safe and respectful, then, you know, I think that kind of stuff is beautiful. Our sexuality is part of how we come to know God, in my humble opinion. Learning to spiritualize that part of our lives is tricky. It's complicated, in my experience. So good for you for trying something new and allowing yourself to go to a very deep Plutonian space. Anyway, this one is interesting. I like this one. This one really stuck with me. Very poignant one to end with. This is Venus opposite Pluto. Yesterday evening, I suggested to my daughter and husband, since it was our last day of my daughter's summer vacation, we should go to our favorite local restaurant by the town bay. So we did, and it was a lovely evening. We talked about how the summer had gone by for each of us. Our teenage daughter left earlier than us, but my husband and I stayed a bit later. We accidentally met a man we started to talk with, and we found out he had lived in the same area of our county that I had lived in my childhood. It turned out that though we had never met before, he had known my aunt's family who had lived on the same street that my other grandmother and my cousins from both sides, far away from where we live now. That is a street of many childhood memories for me. Now, this is Venus in Cancer opposite Pluto in Capricorn. Then he mentioned my aunt's previous husband's little brother, who I had met when I was 10 years old. The memory I have of him was the strangest thing. Me and my youngest cousin were crazy about this handsome and funny young man who at that time was 22 years old. We played with him and tried to grab his attention in every way, but that evening, summer 1981, adults started to celebrate and had alcohol. This young man started to stare at me strangely during the evening, and at one time he said to me quietly that he was in love with me. I was only 10, but I still remember the tone in his voice and the look in his face. And I knew that he wasn't joking and that it wasn't all right. Nothing else happened. He just stared at me sadly all evening. My cousins noticed it too, but other adults were too drunk to notice. I felt sad and strangely responsible. Anyway, this stranger my husband and I met yesterday as Venus was opposing Pluto told us that this man from my childhood in the strange memory hanged himself 3 years ago. I was sad to hear this. I hope that he's in peace. Man, that one really hit me hard when I read it. I read it a few times. I found that story to be just you know, haunting and beautiful. Well, I want to just take a moment to reflect on what I get when I hear these stories. You know, what do they do for me as an astrologer? Why do I ask you guys to share them? Why do we listen to these stories? What would our lives be if we didn't see the planets looking us in the eyes? The gods looking us right in the eyes. I can only imagine that the memory of looking into that 22-year-old man's eyes at the age of 10 and then recalling that memory as Venus opposite Pluto must have felt very otherworldly. And in those moments, I think we're looking at the gods in the eyes. We're seeing each other in light of the gods, or in the light of the gods, we're somehow able to see each other. And that's why we do this. What would our memories be of ancestors or of old hometowns, deceased lovers, wedding anniversaries, remembrance of the passage of a loved one. What would they be if we weren't able to include the gods in them, the stars in them? I think about that deep sea diver. And because for me, when I hear that story and I know what astrology is going on, I think that, well, wherever that deep sea diver went, if even one person is able to, you know, reflect on the fact that the Venus, they're reflecting on that while Venus is opposing Pluto, it's evidence that that swimmer is swimming in the realm of the gods, that even when he was lost, he was in the realm of the gods. We can trust deep places. We can trust death. Planets remind me that the gash on the head, the broken limbs, the first aid applied, the trip to India, the return of the sun after 2 years. These events become just as much the place of pilgrimage as an actual trip to India, right? And how do we recognize that without this, not just astrology, but without sacred language, without metaphor and myth and archetype? It's these kinds of events that teach us really how to pray, how to recognize divinity in our midst, and how to walk prayerfully. It's when our altered states, whether we're casting tarot or at some bizarre mansion tripping out with naturopathic doctors, that our altered states are planetary states always. We think we're getting high. The planets are getting high on us, you know? The planets pull each one of us like tarot cards on the stage of creation. It's true. That's why we use the hashtag grabbed. And when we take time to reflect like this, it's not a grabbing as much as it is a holding, a grasping, an understanding. The planets remind us that we each have teeth, muscle, and bite. You know, even though we want to be pacifists, even though our aim is nonviolent communication, that the universe includes teeth, muscle, and bite. The planets remind us that we are all just doing donuts in eternity. We're all spinning out in eternity. Sometimes we bite each other. We think we're done with junk food, but actually junk food might be done with us. And that's the perspective the planets can give us. And it makes you laugh. And you never look at the donut the same way, whether it's the one you want to eat or the one the teenage punks are spinning. Even our skin is a garden that needs pruning, and the planets point to the invisible gardener. Sometimes our face needs some growth that we have to take care of. It's beautiful. We have metaphors, myths, and images circling around us like guardians, just taking care of us. All we have to do is reach out, learn to listen, learn to care, and communicate with them. And finally, you know, when we walk with the planets in our everyday lives and we learn to reflect in this way and notice their comminglings in our lives, the scent the planet gives off, the scents that the planets give off are never toxic, and they will never interrupt your lovemaking. All right, that's what I've got for today. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for all of your beautiful stories. Don't forget, if you ever have one to share, just use the hashtag grabbed, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com if you prefer to email it to us. And I look forward to doing another one again soon. All right, take it easy, everyone. Bye.